Hi, this is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts, joined by Dr. Anthony Lillis, as we discuss the Discerning Hearts Pilgrimage 2020, a Trinitarian Holy Land pilgrimage in the company of Elijah. Over the next several episodes, we're going to describe what the experience will be like, and we hope that you will consider joining us, or at least following us, in this audio presentation. Welcome back, Anthony.
It's wonderful to be with you, Chris. Thanks for having these little conversations about our pilgrimage.
I'm excited about this one, too, because now we're on Thursday, May 28th, 2020, and we are on our way to Mount Tabor. Holy cow. I mean, this is one of the most significant mountains in all salvation history.
Yes. For those listeners who have been to Colorado, when they say a mountain, it doesn't quite mean the same thing there. And yet, at the same time, when you climb to the top of Mount Tabor, the vistas up there are beautiful. Your eyes reach out to horizons on every side. And there's something incredibly special about this particular place. I've been here. This is where Jesus was transfigured in glory, and Moses and Elijah appeared on each side of him, and he conversed with them. And then the Father's voice was heard, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." This was a point of departure in the gospel, because at this point, after he's transfigured, Jesus sets his chin like flint towards Jerusalem, begins his salvific mission to save us from sin. Before he suffers and dies, he's transfigured here in glory. And it's a curious thing. What was that conversation about Elijah and Moses about? Well, Moses represents the law and Elijah the prophets, and Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. That's why Origen, Jerome, Cyril of Jerusalem, everyone believed that Jesus had this conversation on this mountain with Elijah and Moses in shadows of cloud and glory and bright light, all of this all at once, dazzling the apostles. We're going to be there. There's a beautiful monastery up on top, and we're going to have our Eucharistic liturgy will be in that church. I've been there with other groups. The bells there, when they ring, they vibrate all the way through your body. Just the sound of them kind of makes you physically like your whole body's at prayer. I can't really explain it other than that, but I've been with groups of people and the bells start tolling and they just stop and let the sound roll through them. Anyway, we're going to be there when that place of beautiful sound and beautiful mosaics, celebrating Mass in this place of the Transfiguration.
Yeah, I am so glad that we're walking up by foot. Now, for anybody who knows me really well, they know that I have a bum left foot only because I broke it when I was in Rome, and I've got pins and things still in it. But the walk up this mountain, I'm not worried about it. I am not worried about it. And I'm going to make sure I've got, you know, good shoes. And I'm going to make sure I prep myself for it. It's not going to be so strenuous that it's causing me any fear. And I don't know, I might even bring a walking stick. Who knows? But I want to make this journey.
Well, it's a very pleasant walk up the side of the hill, and it's not strenuous. It's not like climbing a 14er in Colorado or anything like that. It's
like you do all the time.
Yeah, well, not so much anymore. It's a beautiful walk. We'll walk up, we'll walk down. But the idea, the reason why we're walking up this hill, this was something Sister Magdalite and I talked about, was she wanted the pilgrims to have the experience of walking where Jesus walked, that experience of going up this hill. It's a beautiful moment of prayer. And that's what we're trying to carve out in each day, time of prayer, this pleasant, beautiful walk up the mountain. This walk will be a moment of prayer in our day, getting us ready for the liturgy. And then after Mass, a time to unpack everything that we've experienced up on top.
Well, no walking stick for me then. I'm ready.
Okay, good deal.
Because after we descend, we're going down the mountain. Oh gosh, I can't even believe I'm saying that. We're going to descend down Mount Tabor by foot. Oh my gosh. But then we're on to Cana. It's Cana. Yes. It's the sign of the very first miracle.
Yes, Mount Tabor is not far away. The connection between Elijah and Mary kind of in our pilgrimage continues on this day. Mary at Cana, this is where there's the wedding feast. They run out of wine, and Jesus is there with his disciples, and Mary informs her son, you know, they've run out of wine. And Jesus seems to give a very curious rebuke to her. Instead of calling her mom, he refers to her as woman and says that, you know, my time has not yet come. And Mary is undaunted by this apparent rejection by the Lord. Instead of being put off by what seems to be a distancing of himself from her, she has nothing but total trust in him. And she tells the servant, go do whatever he tells you. And she still tells us all this today, go do whatever he tells you. And that's how the miracle of the water changed into wine unfolds. This day is going to be very important for us as we enter into prayer to remember what happens in our own spiritual life. John of the Cross calls it a dark night where the Lord seems to be distant from us, but that distance really isn't that he's abandoned us or he's not concerned about us, but the seeming distance that we experience is actually a new relationship, something that we're not familiar with. And indeed, the intimacy that the Lord wants to have with us is something completely unfamiliar to us. And so if we're going to enter into an unfamiliar intimacy with the Lord, he needs to take us to unfamiliar places. And this is what happened with Mary at Cana, and it's what we'll be celebrating today after we come down. On this day, after we come down from Mount Tabor, we'll be entering into the powerful conversation between Jesus and Mary. Couples traditionally coming to Cana renew their married vows one with the other. So couples who come will try to make space for that to happen in this pilgrimage. The other thing, too, is that they sell wine, actually, in Cana, too, but it's not made from water, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, okay. All right. That's okay.
But it's beautiful. For the last couple days, there's been a connection between the spirit of Elijah and Mary. And on this day of our pilgrimage, that continues with Mount Tabor and then the mystery of Cana.
Afterwards, if we can tear ourselves away, because it's such a big day, we are going to head for the Lake of Galilee. And, there are so many things that we'll experience the next day at that spot. But the one thing I want to bring forward to everyone, as we do this, there's something that's special that happens on a pilgrimage when you have dinner with a group, and then you have your free evenings. You know, that's your time. I mean, to either continue in conversation with the people around you, maybe you need to break away and have a breather. Maybe there's beautiful places to explore. Those free evenings are very special, aren't they?
They are. I often use them to sit down with pilgrims and ask them about the graces they received that day, especially right after dinner. It's kind of a beautiful time for that conversation. Sometimes pilgrims have been so moved by what they've seen and experienced, they kind of need just time in solitude by themselves. That also happens. Other times pilgrims take little foot walks, leave the hotel, and they walk and just experience a little bit of the town or village that we're at. And all of those beautiful things happen on a pilgrimage that's part of the adventure.
Can you imagine a free evening sitting on the seashore of the Lake of Galilee? Holy cow. I can't wait.
It will be very beautiful, yes.
In our next conversations, we're walking very closely with our Lord, who I'm sure is with us throughout this whole wonderful pilgrimage. But now we really focus in on him. And I can't wait to talk to you more about that.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to it too, Chris. Thank you.
Boy, we're only halfway through our pilgrimage, and already this is a journey of a lifetime. I cannot wait to continue our conversations in our next episodes when we're heading towards Cana.
Amen. This is Dr. Anthony Lillis.
And Chris McGregor, and we invite you to join us in a once-in-a-lifetime Discerning Hearts Trinitarian pilgrimage throughout the Holy Land. This will be a unique opportunity for contemplative prayer, spiritual teaching, and fellowship in one of the holiest areas on the earth. The place is touched by the lives of Jesus, Mary, and the apostles.
During this time, we will also walk closely in the company of the prophet Elijah through the most miraculous moments in salvation history, which would later become pages in the gospel. Along with Sister Magdalite Balduc of the Community of the Beatitudes, the community of the famous Father Jacques Philippe, we hope to lead you into a new encounter with the great mysteries of our faith and a renewal of your devotion to the Lord.
Join us May 23rd through June 2nd, 2020. Please visit discerninghearts.com for a full itinerary and learn more about the Discerning Hearts Trinitarian Pilgrimage to the Holy Land.